Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Yeah.
My prayer this morning when I was on my knees was that anyone in here today that needed to be set free, be set free in the name of Jesus. Do not leave here today.
Amen.
If you have any bondage at all, come up here and get rid of it.
Yeah, that's good. Amen.
That's my prayer for my birthday.
Amen.
I ask God to give this to me for my birthday gift.
Amen. We believe that. And we had a couple other birthdays you wanted to mention as well.
Yes, I do. Peggy Van Patterwerk.
We're Peggy.
Peggy. Beautiful Peggy. Stand up, Peggy. She is another one. Can I tell your age? She's 79. She's going to be 80 next year. I mean, these ladies and their youthfulness, they're
beautiful.
Doing exactly what the Bible says. God renews their youth.
Amen.
And yes, he did. And so I'm so thankful. But we also have another special little birthday. Come here, little Miss Janelle.
Oh, what a beauty.
This is beautiful baby girl Janelle. She is 10 years old today.
Happy birthday.
Yay! Can we sing happy birthday? Can we sing happy birthday? All right.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. How sweet. Amen. Amen. If you don't come on Wednesday nights, you're really missing a connecting point, because Wednesday nights there's some teaching that the Lord gives me that I stand amazed at constantly how God dovetails it into the message for Sunday or from the message preview, and how it just connects together. So you're really missing out. If you can possibly make Wednesday nights in your schedule, make it, because it's a wonderful teaching time. And take from that, I want to start off before I start this message. This morning in intercession, the Lord reminded me of scripture that I've been meditating on, Proverbs chapter 3. And I preached on it, taught on it a little bit Wednesday night. Happy, Proverbs 3, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Everybody say finds wisdom. Wisdom has to be found. Wisdom is the word of God. 1 Corinthians 1 says Jesus is the wisdom of God. The word of God's wisdom. And he who gets understanding, Proverbs 3 says. So wisdom is the word of God. Understanding always follows. Today, this message, I was illuminated while during intercession this morning that today is a real important message to get you understanding. So today's going to be a very practical message. You need to take some notes. You need to write something. Don't take notes of everything, but you need to write a few things down. It's going to help you. Today we're going to be in Mark chapter 11, and we're going to talk on the topic, speak to your mountain. Speak to your mountain. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You're right on target, Tri. Amen. Start off in Mark 11, verse 13. Seeing a fig tree with leaves afar off, Jesus went to see that he might find some figs. He found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Jesus spoke to the tree. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples took note of that, like, he's talking to a tree. And in the morning, everybody say in the morning, 24 hours went by. They came back the same area. And as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered at the roots. Peter, with an incredible memory, recalled to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, that's the fig tree you cursed yesterday. It's withered away." Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 21, it's the same account, but it says it a little bit differently. In Matthew, it says that as soon as Jesus spoke it, it says immediately the fig tree withered. Is this a contradiction? Peter wasn't paying attention. That's good, Bob. That may be true, I don't know. But actually, no, it's not a contradiction at all. According to Mark, you know, they didn't see the fig tree wither up immediately, but Matthew later on had the understanding that even though it didn't manifest right at that moment, that immediately it was drying up at the roots. And he wrote the account out afterwards. He got understanding later that as soon as Jesus spoke it, it happened. But it didn't manifest 24 hours later. As soon as the word is spoken, it's done in the spirit, but you may not see it in the flesh just yet. Now notice that when Jesus saw this fig tree, he says he saw the leaves, but he also said it's not the season for figs. You may not know this, but a fig tree will bear figs before it has leaves. In other words, figs will grow before the leaves grow. So that's why Jesus went toward this tree. He was seeing that this fig tree had leaves, therefore it should have had fruit. So when Jesus goes up to it and to this tree, he talks to this tree. Basically, he's speaking to this tree that you are not what you're professing to be. You don't have what you profess to have. He used this as a teachable moment so he could teach his disciples about hypocrisy, but also teaching them about how things manifest in the kingdom. Sometimes things don't always appear as they are. And so Jesus used this as a teachable moment. And after Peter said, "Look, that the fig tree is dried up," the next day, Jesus answered them, the disciples, because they had questions, and he said, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God. For truly I say to you, whoever says," everybody say, "says your words to this mountain, be removed and be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, and whatever he will have, whatever he says." Words are powerful. God created the universe with words. When Jesus said, "Have faith in God," it was a direct command to the disciples. They've been with him for, they're going to be with him for 3.5 years. He expected them to get this. He was actually saying, "Have the faith of God." Amen. Not just have faith in God, but have the faith of God. It's available to you. Yeah. Romans 12:3 says that every man has been given a measure of faith. Every man has been given a measure of faith. God knew before you were created the challenges that you were going to face, the mountains that you were going to be obstacles, the things that needed to be uprooted in your life that would need to be moved out of the way. And he gave you the faith, his very own faith in you, knowing beforehand the challenges that you were going to face in life, whatever they may be. He has given to every man a measure of faith, the measure you need. But we also have to take what he's given and utilize it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that God has given us his armor. He says, put on the armor. You already have the belt of truth, having the breastplate of righteousness. You already have righteousness. You're righteous when you're born again. All your sins are gone. You have the salvation, the helmet of salvation, but you have to take up the shield of faith. Taking up the shield of faith is the armor that God gives you, knowing that you're going to need this. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, above all, which you can quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Every fiery dart that comes against you from the devil in your entire lifetime, if you take up the shield of faith that God has given you, can quench everything, Joey. It can quench cancer. It can quench every label the doctor tries to put on you. It can quench everything. The faith that God gives you. But you've got to take it. Taking up the shield of faith. You've got to use it. You have to speak it. Let me ask you a question. Why do we see the Word of God benefit some people and not benefit others who profess to be believers? Why? Well, we look to the Bible for the answer, and there's a great example that God uses over and over and over again that happened in the Old Testament. I referred to it last week. It's the example that God uses for us today in, as a warning to us as believers in our time. And it was the children of Israel. God supernaturally delivered them out of bondage of Egypt. He opened the Red Sea. They walked through dry ground. They got to the other side. God provided supernaturally water for them. He provided manna for them for 40 years in the desert. He provided a cloud by day to protect them from the desert, because you would die from the heat. He protected them at night because it gets so cold in the desert you could die from the cold. He gave them a pillar of fire by night. And for 40 years he provided for them. But they came and fell short of the promise that God had for them. They fell short of their destiny. They were to go into a promised land. God said, I have a land for you. I have a destiny for you. I have a land for you. You're going to live in houses you did not build. You're going to drink from wells that you did not dig. You're going to eat from vineyards you did not plant. I have this waiting for you. I have an abundance for you. It's waiting for you. How do we get there, Lord? You got to believe me. You got to trust me. And so we see in Hebrews chapter 4, God takes the story out of the Old Testament and brings it to the New Testament because we need a reminder, a serious reminder. And he says, since there is a promise remains of entering his rest or faith, let us fear. This is the only place in the Bible that believers are told to fear something. Every other place, God's always saying, fear not, fear not, fear not. But this is the only place God tells believers, you do need to fear that you'll come short of your destiny. You do need to fear that you'll fall short of my promise to you. You do need to fear, because there was a whole generation, possibly a million people, that fell short of the promise that God had for them. Let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. The promise. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as it was to them, but the word they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who believe do enter that rest. This is what faith is supposed to do: bring you to a place of settled rest. I have a promise from God. That's all I need, and I believe it. Notice, it says the word that they heard did not profit them. It is possible, and more than likely, even at the sound of my voice right now, you're under the preaching of God's anointed word, and the Spirit of God is here to quicken you to it, but it's possible that many of you will hear the word but never get the benefit you're supposed to get from it. It's like guzzling a bunch of water down. You guzzle it down, but it just goes right through you. It never profits you because it won't be mixed with faith in those who hear it. The key ingredient. This is what makes everything work. The word they heard. They heard the word. Just like you have heard the word. No one will stand before God and say, God, you never told us. You never warned us. You've heard the word. How does faith come to us? How do we get faith? God gives every man a measure of faith, but how do we get faith? And the scripture is very clear. Bible says that in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and following, it says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Praise God. But how shall they call upon him if they've not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Thank God for preachers. Your preachers. How shall they preach unless they're sent? So then faith comes, say it with me, by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. Notice, not having heard, but hearing, present tense. Pay close attention. The word that did not profit Israel was a word they heard, past tense. Yeah, we heard the word. Yeah, we know all about it. We know about the promises. We know that God's promised a promised land, but it's been 40 years. How come it hasn't happened? And we're sick and tired of this manna. They heard, but they stopped hearing. Some of you have heard. You're older now, and for some reason, you've stopped hearing. I don't know. Maybe you got disappointment in your life. Maybe you went through a divorce. Maybe you went through a heartache. Maybe things happened in your life that just something has shut you down. The faith switch has been shut off. You have a short circuit. Something is not working in your life. The faith that God gave you is not alive. The faith that God gave you turned old. You stopped hearing. Oh, you can tell me the time years ago that you heard God. You know God, and God did this, and God did that. Maybe a miracle, whatever it was. You can tell me those stories from long ago, but you haven't. You're not hearing anything today. I like to ask people a question that sometimes makes them feel uncomfortable, and I don't do it to make them feel uncomfortable. I'm expecting that they're hearing God, and I usually ask people, I say, what are you hearing from God lately? And I don't mean to put them on the spot, but a lot of people get defensive, you know, and I kind of go, wow, I guess you're not hearing anything. But you should ask me, what is God saying to you lately? I can tell you, what are you hearing? Don't let your faith get old. Amen. 16 times Jesus himself said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. And the last 7 or 8 times, I don't know which, he spoke it to the 7 churches in Revelation, and he added what the Spirit is saying. Yes. He that hath ears to hear, who has ears to hear? Only about a third of you. Do you have ears to hear? I'm wondering if you hear me. Do you have ears to hear? Yeah. I'm not raising my hand. Scripture says in Hebrews 3:15, today if you'll hear his voice. Don't harden your heart. As in the rebellion, as the people who did, as Israel in the Old Testament, they hardened their hearts. Something caused them to shut down and quit hearing. Present tense. Something caused them. I don't know what it was, but they hardened their hearts toward God. Maybe because it's been a long time. And when you go through a long trial, a long sickness, a long ways through something, and maybe you haven't seen breakthrough yet, you got to be careful. You got to guard your heart, because there's a tendency for the world and doubt and fear to come to you and say, it's not going to happen. Come on, get real. you're believing something, it's just not going to happen. It may have worked for others, but it's not going to come to you. And you harden your heart toward God right before you're on the edge of a breakthrough. Israel was right there on the border of the promised land. They saw it, but they didn't enter it. Let me tell you, take you to the New Testament, a quick story. You're very familiar with this story. But Jesus one time went to the house of Mary and Martha, and he came, and they were expecting other guests to come. But Jesus came early. And when Jesus came early, he's the guest of honor. So he came in the house, and while Mary and Martha were back working in the kitchen, Mary greets Jesus at the door, and she invites him in. And she's not going to go back there and work in the kitchen yet. Jesus is here. He's the reason we're here. She sits down with him, and he begins to speak into her life, because he came early because he wanted to spend time with her. He wanted to spend time with Martha too. He came early because he wanted to speak into their lives some intimate things that maybe other people shouldn't hear. He wanted to talk to them and wanted to straighten out some things and show them about him and about them and whatever. And Martha was back in the kitchen while her sister's out there working. You know the story. And Martha just interrupts Jesus and says, "Excuse me, Jesus, would you mind telling my sister to come back and help me, because we got all these guests coming over and it's more than I can take care of. Would you mind just kind of..." She's giving Jesus a gentle rebuke. Like, "You should have told her, you see me." And Martha, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." Everybody say many things. Because many of you are troubled about many things too. Jesus said, "But one thing," say one thing. "One thing's needed." And already your mind, while you've been in church this morning, maybe you've been looking at your phone, thinking of your list, things you've got to do this week. You've got to do this, you've got to go there. And you're kind of working in your mind what you're going to do, or the dinner you're going to prepare, or whatever you're going to do this week. And you know what? You're just like Martha. You're in the house of the Lord on the first day of the week. You're under the anointing of the Word of God, but you've got many, many things on your plate. Whew. One thing. One thing's needed, Jesus said to Martha. And Mary's chosen it. Mary made the choice. You got to make a choice. You make a choice right now. What's really important to you? What do you really value? What time we get out of here? Where are we going to go eat? What we're going to do tonight? What we're going to do tomorrow? What do you value? God's watching. Notice that Mary was hearing and hearing, present tense. I want to hear now what Jesus has to say to me. I know what he's heard. I've heard his sermons. I've got them on my iPod. I've listened to Jesus' sermons over and over again. I got all of his CDs. I've read his book. But I need to know what he's saying to me now. I can't live off yesterday's manna. Remember, it turns to worms. I need to hear a present tense word from God today. And if you come to church with that kind of mindset and that attitude, you'll shut out all these distractions. No, I need to hear one word from God. It's going to come to me today. I'm going to be listening. So faith comes by hearing, hearing. Faith comes by listening, listening. The word of Christ. Actually, the word God there is not there in Romans. It's actually the word Christ. The word of Christ. You know that Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith? When you read that scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. The word "our" is not in the original. It's actually Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. Faith comes by hearing him. What is he saying to you? What is the Spirit saying to you? What is Jesus saying to you? Faith comes. Are you listening? Do you understand how the enemy operates? I see this every week. The enemy operates like out of Mark chapter 4. It tells you there is a parable of the sower and the soils. The sower is the one giving the word out. Right now, I'm the sower. I'm giving the word of God. The seed is the word of God. The soil is the condition of people's hearts here that I can't see, but God sees. You know, according to the parable of the sower and the soils, that only one out of every four who sit under the same sermon, only one out of every four is good soil that will produce 30, 60, maybe 100-fold. Three others will hear the same word. Could have got a miracle. Could have got a healing. Could have been saved. Could have been changed. And it went right through them. The word did not profit them. I see it every week. Notice how the enemy works against you. Mark chapter 4, just quickly. The sower goes out and sows the seed. And the scripture says immediately, everybody say immediately, immediately. Satan comes to take it. That means Satan is in church. He is in church. Demons are in church. And they come to steal the seed, the word, right now, so you can't get it. You'll lose it. The seed is put right in your lap. Here, here, take it. Take it. It's a life-giving seed that can change your life. You take it. But before you know it, you're distracted. And next thing you know, Satan comes, and like a bird, he stole that seed before you even know it. You don't even remember what it was. What was that? Persecution and trouble arise for the word's sake. Even if you do get the word and you write it down, Satan will make sure, the enemy will make sure that you get persecuted or trouble or affliction. All kinds of hell will break out against you so that you will lose sight of the word. You'll forget about the word and get distracted and come over here and deal with the trouble. So when you get the word of God, you expect persecution and trouble to come from the enemy. It's not about you. He's just trying to steal the word from you, the seed. And then third, cares and busyness of life choke out the word. You're so busy. You're a Martha. You're a doer. You're getter done things. You got a to-do list, and come hell or high water, you're going to get it done. You're going to get it done. And as long as you're that mindset, the anointed word of God that God sent to you to heal you, deliver you, to give you a breakthrough, to save your soul, to save your life, is gone. Doesn't profit you. But your neighbor sitting right next to you, you get the word, they hear it. They take it. They speak it. They thank God for it. And they walk in love knowing, hey, I've heard from God today. And guess what? They get a miracle. Their mountain moves. The sycamine tree Jesus spoke of, the thing that needs to be uprooted in your life, is uprooted because they heard a word from God today. That's all they needed. That's why they came here. They came to get one word from God, and they took it, and they have it, and nobody's going to take it from them. You see? Five steps of faith working. There may be more, but I'm just giving you five. Five steps of faith working in you and through you. Number one, believe what the Spirit is saying to you through the Word. Amen. Now, the Spirit of God can speak to you without the Scripture, but primarily what I'm talking about, when you're hearing preaching of the Word, the Holy Spirit is quickening part of that Word to you. Maybe not all of it, but He's giving you something. It's something. And this something may be for you, and it may not be that exactly for the next person, but you're quickened by the Spirit of God enough to know, if you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you, that God is speaking. You know God when He speaks to you. It could be through the song, one of the worship songs. It could be through the Scripture. But primarily, it's just through the preaching of the Word that God uses to get you the Word. And so you got to believe that what the Spirit is saying to you. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What is the Spirit saying to you? If you walk out here today and say, well, I couldn't tell you one thing that the Spirit's saying to me, then you're dull as a rock. I'm sorry, but you are. Or you're not born again. Or you're hard-hearted. I'm not trying to call anybody names, but I'm just trying to tell you, you should be hearing what the Spirit is saying to you. Especially in this church. This is an easy church to hear and receive from God. So you believe what the Spirit is saying to you through the Word of God. Don't let me, if I say something that's off the cuff and do something that maybe rub you the wrong way, don't let that offense or something take root to keep you from getting the message. I'm a brown paper bag carrying the groceries. I do stupid things and say things I shouldn't say and all this and that. I'm just a dumb old brown paper bag. But don't miss the groceries. Amen. The food inside. Amen. And if I do something and I often do that's something crazy, just say, he's just a dumb old brown paper bag. Let's get the groceries. Then first you believe it. Everybody say, first of all, I believe that God is talking to me today. I have ears to hear what the Spirit's saying. You should have already heard something. I believe God's Spirit's talking to me about something. Okay. Second, you keep it. Because Satan comes immediately to steal it. And that's why months ago we gave everybody here that came, we gave you a journal and gave you an ink pen and said, look, you need to take notes. Not because of some great scholarly message, but you need to write down something that you hear from the Spirit, because Satan will come to take it from you. And your memory is great, but it can miss things. And the faintest ink is stronger than the strongest memory. It really is. So write something down. Yeah. Write it down. Anything. Whatever you feel the Spirit saying to you, write it down and then feed on it the rest of the week. Amen. Keep it. Meditate on it with the Spirit. Go back to God and say, God, this is what I believe you were saying to me in that message today. Help me unpack this. As you meditate on that scripture and speak it to yourself and just, you know, go over it and over and over again, you're chewing on it, you'll extract the other nutrients there that you didn't get right away. God, if he's speaking to you about something, there's more to it he wants to share with you. Are you with me? First of all, say, I believe it. Second thing in the walk of faith is I'm going to keep it. Satan is not going to steal the word from me today. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to keep it so I can unpack it, feed on it throughout the whole week. Number three, very important, you've got to speak it. In other words, when you hear something from the Spirit of God, the scripture, like I'm meditating on Proverbs 3, happy is the man who gets understanding. Man, I've said that to myself probably 100 times as I'm walking around talking to God. I'm speaking it in the atmosphere. I'm speaking it to myself. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Well, I'm speaking the Word of God back into my ears. And God begins to unpack lots of other knowledge and information with that I did not have when I first read it. It's something you go over and over again, but you speak it out loud. Speak it to yourself. There's something powerful about speaking. And your words are powerful. Proverbs 6:2 says that your words can be a snare to you. You know, you hear something, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, guess what? That was just a snare. So we need to learn to speak what God is saying to my heart. So when I ask you or anybody ask you, what's the Spirit saying to you lately? You can tell us right away. You're speaking it out. You're telling somebody. Amen. You got it hidden in your heart. So I believe it. I keep it. I speak it. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we have the same spirit of faith as it is written. I believe, therefore I've spoken. So we also believe and therefore speak. So it's important to speak it out. So we're talking about 5 steps of faith working in you. I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to me. Every time I open that Bible, I believe God's Spirit speaking to me. Even if I play Bible roulette and just open the Bible up and look down and got a verse, I believe that somehow God's speaking to me.
Amen.
I don't recommend you do that as your Bible study method, but I know that God does sometimes do that. So I believe the Spirit of God speaking. I keep it. I write it down. I think about it. I speak it. And number four, I thank God. Because now, if God has given you a promise, let's say, He gave Pam and I a promise probably 30 years ago, Pam. This promise, He just reminded me of that this morning. In Jeremiah 31, 30 years ago, our son is 39, and he's in prison. And he'd been in and out of jail and all that, and most of you know that story. But the point was, when he was just a little boy, we were still living in Astor. So he had to be, what, 9, 10, something like that. That's what I was thinking. God gave me a scripture, and He gave Pam the same scripture on the same day. And we weren't even talking about it. I came in, I said, I believe God's given me a scripture, because we were having trouble with Andrew. He had a lot of behavioral issues, and we just didn't know what to do, and medication didn't help, and everything we were doing, it just didn't seem like it was making any difference. And God, we were grieving about it. I mean, pastor's supposed to have his household in order. And it was, because we were doing the discipline, but it just, man, we were just having a hard time with him. He was difficult. And we were grieving about it. And this is what the Lord said. He gave us this promise 30 years ago. Jeremiah 31:16. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, says the Lord, that your children will come back to their own border. Well, there have been many times I've taken that word back to God, and I said, now, what about this? Especially the first heartbreaking time when he went to jail. Then he went to prison. I mean, that'd grieve your heart if you have a child that's done that. You know how that grieves you. And I grieved, and Pam grieved, wept over that. In disobedience to what God said. God said, don't grieve, don't weep. He expected us to believe His word, keep speaking it to ourselves. So as long as we're grieving, we're not believing the word. I'm a little slow, but eventually got caught up with that, and God pointed it out to me. I told you a long time ago not to grieve over it. It would have saved you many years of grief. Had you instead stayed in faith and believed, your children are going to return from the land of the enemy to their own border. You don't have to worry about that. You may not know when, you may not know how, and you may not even see it with your eyes, but you have a word from me, and that's all you need. So what do you do when you're in that waiting stage? We spoke to the mountain, Lord, and it didn't move. We rebuked the devil, but he didn't buke. We told the sycamine tree to uproot, but it's still there. If you've spoken a word from God, something happened. You may not see it. It may not manifest right then. But now you have to stay in faith. I believe it. I keep that word that God's got me. I haven't given up on it. I still have it. I speak it. And now the part, while I'm waiting for the manifestation, I thank God. I thank you, God. I walk in thanksgiving. I walk in grace. Thank you, God, for answering my prayer. Thank you, God, for meeting my need. Thank you for giving me this promise. I know you're good for it. I know it will manifest at the right time, the right place. I thank you, God. It's already done. I thank you, God. You see how important thankfulness is. Because if you don't move in thankfulness, you'll just automatically default to the negative. Nothing's happening. We prayed for 20 years. Nothing happened. You'll default to the negative. Peter walking on the water, remember, he got one word from Jesus. He stepped out of the boat and he started walking to Jesus. Nobody ever done that before or done it since. He started walking to Jesus until he saw the wind and the waves. Well, where'd the wind and the waves come from? Weren't they already there? See, first he kept his eyes on what God has said to me. I believe you. I step out of the boat. I believe you. And then not only do I step out of the boat, but I speak it. Thank you, God. I'm walking on the water. I'm doing what you said. I take the word. I speak it. Now, had Peter known what you're going to be taught today, stayed in the attitude of gratitude, then when the wind and the waves spoke to him, he said, you guys are too late. I'm already thankful. See, if you're not thankful, the devil knows it's not too late. I can talk them out of it. I can depress them. I can get them to look at the wind and the waves of discouragement and depression. I can get them to look at the doubt. I can get them to look at all the circumstances why it's not going to happen. But if they're already thankful, it's too late.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I have a word from you. Thank you, God. I have a promise. Thank you, God. You see how important this is? Today you're getting understanding. Wisdom came from the Word of God, but now you're getting understanding. And then the last one is very important. You got to walk in love. It's interesting that Jesus didn't skip a beat in this teaching. If you look at all that context of Matthew or Mark chapter 11, and so forth, immediately you think he's done with teaching about speaking to the mountain, but he immediately, without skipping a beat, went right into forgiveness. And he said, and when you stand praying, forgive, and if you have anything against anyone, you forgive them. Okay, we're talking about removing the mountain, Lord, and speaking to it, and now you're talking about forgiveness. Yeah, they go together. He wanted you to see how important it is to walk in love. Now, after you have believed, you've taken it, you're keeping that word, you wrote it down, you got it in your heart, now it comes out of your mouth, you speak it, number three, and number four, now you're walking in thankfulness and gratefulness. Now, you got to make sure you do this last step, walk in love. Walk in love. Why? Why? Because Galatians 5:6 says, faith works by love. And if you have unforgiveness, you ain't walking by love. And the devil's going to try to trip you up right there to keep you from being able to move your mountain. He'll cause you to have a bunch of knuckleheads in your life that will tick you off so that you can practice walking in love. So the next time you see one of those knuckleheads, go up to him and kiss him right in the face and say, thank you. Thank you. You're teaching me how to love.
Amen.
You're teaching me how to walk in forgiveness. I double dog dare you. But Jesus put them all together. See, walking in, because this is where the enemy trips us up. That's why the mountain hasn't moved. And maybe there are other variables too. And listen, I know God can overcome our unforgiveness and do miracles in spite of us, and he does that. But faith works by love, Galatians 5:6. And then Jesus went on to say, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. It's a commandment. So not to do that is disobedience. And all you got to do is look at your own life and go, wait a minute, look how many times I've been the knucklehead or the knothead, and God has mercifully, tenderly, faithfully forgiven me. If I've been forgiven 50,000 million, trillion, billion, quadrillion, whatever words there are, numbers of things in my life, then I can certainly forgive this guy his 3 or 4 offenses toward me.
Amen.
So it should be overwhelming. It's easy to forgive when you walk in love. But you just go back and review your record. Wow. You mean I can't forgive you? And I know that there's a lot more serious matters that may take a little bit of time for you to work through your emotions, but you got to realize forgiveness is not an option. If you have been forgiven much, you're expected to give what God has given you. God will help you work through that. This is His commandment, that you love one another. John 15, 12. So I'm going to land this plane here today, and there's several things that have come to my heart that I need to share with you. I didn't know that Pam was going to get up here and then make a call for salvation. That's always appropriate. But there may be some understanding that's lacking in your life. And the understanding is that I think in my heart, as she was sharing that, I think in my heart that I was hearing the Spirit say there are people here who are lost but don't know they're lost. They have a religious spirit. They have all the knowledge about God. You could talk to them and even share the plan of salvation, and they have all this working knowledge up here in their head, but they don't have Jesus in their heart. See, it's a religious spirit. They don't know it. And it's a religious spirit that's deceiving them and hoping that the clock will run out and they'll die and go to hell. And there'll be some of those people that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 7. Lord, Lord, in your name, didn't we do this? And didn't we do this? And didn't we serve here? Didn't we go to church? And Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. They didn't know him. They knew about him. And it's possible that sometimes people who've been heavily involved in the occult, and they found that really that they had the occult had no answers for them, then they start going to church, but then their heart gets hardened by Satan because they think that what we're sharing them is a bunch of nonsense. And they hardened their heart toward. They've heard it all before. Matter of fact, they were probably in church before they got involved in the occult. They left the church because they didn't see any answers there. They went to the occult, didn't find any answers there. Then they come back to a church and they still don't see anything. And so they kind of hardened their heart. And it's possible that there's somebody here today that's you. This could be a word of knowledge that the Lord is saying to you, I know you. But you don't know me. You don't know what I'm really like. And today is a day that you're to come out of the darkness and into the light. And today is the day of your salvation, if you don't harden your heart. Amen. What do you got to do to be saved? The same thing I just talked to you about. Number one, you got to believe that God is talking to you through the Spirit. Amen. Number two, you got to take this. Say, that's mine. That's the Lord talking to me. Then you got to speak it. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe in your heart, you will be saved. You got to speak it. Jesus is now my Lord. And I repent of all the occult activity. I turn away from it. And then not only do you speak it, now you start to be thankful. Amen. Amen. And you learn to walk in forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Someone has been contemplating suicide. That's always a serious thing to say. Someone here contemplating suicide? Well, that's a word of knowledge. From Joan, just got that word of knowledge. So somebody here's contemplating, been thinking about it, maybe even planning it. You may even be a believer. Hopelessness is a lie.
Yes, it is. It is a lie.
But if you believe it, it's just fear and faith work the same way. You have to put faith in it.
Yes.
And so somebody here, if that's you, just know today that God just gave a word of knowledge to call that out so you'll come out of the darkness. As long as you stay in the darkness, the enemy can work and torment you. You've got to come out of the dark and come into the light, and the light will destroy the darkness. It's that simple.
Thank you, Lord.
So, two things. One, first, let's get salvation. Salvation is a gift. It's not something you earn. It's a gift you receive. It's already done. It's already established. But you have to believe in your heart that Jesus is alive. God raised him from the dead, and confess with your own mouth, Jesus is now my Lord, my Savior. Is it? I want to just say this for everybody here. I'd like you to bow your head for a moment. I just do that to see shut out distractions. God brought you here to take care of business. You've heard the Spirit of the Lord talking to you today. And if God would give me your name, I'd speak your name out. And in my head, I heard Jeremy. I don't know if that's you, but if it is, listen up. The Lord says today is your day of salvation. What must I do, preacher? Let me lead you. Do you believe the Lord is speaking to you today? He brought you here and he's talking. If you do, take it. And speak this out loud with me. Lord Jesus, say it with your lips. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. And today you're here to save me from my sin and from going to hell. And right now, I ask you to come into my heart. I believe you will. And save me from all my sin. Right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now look at me, okay? You believed. You took this word. You spoke it. Now be thankful. What do I need to be thankful? Just stand up and come up here and stand with me and say, Pastor, I just prayed that prayer with you. I'm thankful. I believe God spoke to me today through this service. He brought me here, and he said, come up right now. I mean, with anybody standing. If you're in the middle, just say, excuse me, pardon me.
Amen.
Come on up here and stand with me right now. Somebody. And if your name is Jeremy, especially come up here. Anybody. I'm waiting. Don't be so stubborn. Come on. I just prayed. I believe. I thank God. I spoke it. Now I'm grateful. And if it's you who've been contemplating suicide, let me tell you, there's no shame to be upon you other than to realize that's been Satan trying to kill and steal and destroy. He wants to destroy you. And if I were you, I'd recommend you get up out of that seat and come forward and say, you're talking about me. You're talking about me. I'm waiting for somebody to be saved. I see you standing up in the back. I don't know if that's you. Are you coming forward to be saved or no? You're sitting back down. Okay. Right. If you need to go to the restroom, go ahead. Is there anybody here? I need to be saved today. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him if they haven't heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall the preacher preach unless he's sent? I was sent by God to help you. But you got to respond. Well, it's about time.
Yeah.
Hey, brother. Actually, your first name is
Parker.
Parker. Parker and I have talked before. I shared the gospel with Parker in my office, and he heard the gospel, but he wasn't ready to respond. So you standing up back there, was that you wanting to go to the restroom, or is that want you wanting to get saved?
No, saved.
Get saved. Amen. Amen. Parker, do you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he's alive right now?
Yes.
You heard him speaking to you today through this message?
Yes.
Okay. And have you received Jesus as Lord and only Savior to forgive you all your sins for all time and to make you a new creation in your heart?
Yes.
Amen. God bless you. Praise God. Welcome to the family. We'll talk more this week, okay? God bless you. And Richard, now, you're a believer.
Yes.
You're born again.
Yes.
Okay. Why did you come forward?
It's about the suicide.
About the suicide. Okay. Okay. Then we rebuke that spirit of suicide, the spirit of fear, spirit of hopelessness off of you in the name of Jesus. It has no right and no authority. Now, Richard, with your own mouth, it's best to come out of you. Say out loud, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I take the authority,
I take the authority
that you've given me,
that you've given me,
and I rebuke the spirit of suicide,
and I rebuke the spirit of suicide.
I command it to leave me,
I command it to leave me,
and not return ever again. And I speak this with the authority,
I speak this with the authority
of the blood of Jesus,
of the blood of Jesus,
the word of God,
and the word of God,
in Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
And I mean it,
he said. Amen. I know you do. Be free, brother. Be free. Thank you for your courage and your faith. Your faith is on display today. Everybody has seen your faith. Praise God.
I think there's probably more out there.
Richard says, I think there's probably more out there. There always is. But now what's happened to you, when you've gone through something, you spot it in others faster than people who haven't gone through that. And the Lord will give you discernment, and you'll see people that have suicide on them. You know the look. And you'll go up to them, and you'll say to them, your testimony, God set you free, and may I pray for you so you can be free. And if they do, then you'll set captives free.
Amen.
One will put 1,000 to flight, and two will put 10,000 to flight. So. Amen.
And I will not be harmed.
You won't be harmed. Amen. 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 Let's stand together, everyone. It's my privilege, my pleasure. Altar workers, would you come up here? And Richard, stay right up here. There might be somebody that needs your prayer this morning. Now you're qualified. You're qualified. Altar workers, come up here. We're going to pray for you. Believe. Take it. Speak it. Thank God for it. Walk in forgiveness. Praise God. Speak to your mountain. It will move. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to draw people to this altar to be set free. In Jesus' name, let it be. Amen. And amen. And amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday. Amen.